Happy Tuesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, Ethan and I are over here working hard. Troy is missing in action. If somebody is on the East Coast and they could check on young Troy, please do so. And if he's standing there nodding that he has his mobile device in his hand, let him know he might have pushed the mute button. Otherwise, call us back now. Let's start the show. What is the word? Is it psychopath or is it sociopath? And by the way, once we determine that, is Dricus du Plessis one? I mean, this is one cold son of a... Oh, and by the way, he's threateningly handsome. Like, if you get two crazy guys together, but one of them's rich, he will never be called crazy. In fact, people will find it humorous. They'll find it charming. They will call him eccentric. A crazy poor man has mental problems. Crazy rich man, that's cool. That's eccentric, right? I mean, these are the rules of society, whether you like those or not, right? Kill one man, be a murderer. Kill three men, be a serial killer. Kill 100,000 men, you're a conqueror. I mean, it's one of these rare situations. And I've got to tell you, like, as I look at Dricus, I got contacted, guys. I got contacted by a media source out of South Africa. Okay? This was on Thursday morning due to a press conference that had happened Wednesday. I'm talking about last week. Du Plessis, Izzy, and Izzy cried, got emotional. And somebody else is saying that Sean Strickland did. I watched that Sean Strickland. I can remember even what was said. I even remember what Sean was wearing. I mean, I remember it very well. I don't remember him crying. Am I forgetting that? I don't think I am. But at any rate, I get contacted by people that saw Dricus fighting on the lower level, on the regional scene. They told me he has made other guys cry, and they put an S, like they pluralized it, so it's at least two. Could be more. That's two guys that we don't know of, plus one guy we do, and I've heard people say Sean as well. That'd be four people that Dricus made cry at a press conference. Could that be right? Could that be accurate information? Because I wanted to talk to this guy, and I wrote him right back. I didn't hear back from him. But to find me involves some steps. You'd have to want to find me. But if you do, you can. And it is me. But I just share with you, I generally get very good information. Like, generally somebody that goes to those steps and wants to talk to me, doesn't go to those steps and want to talk to me to tell me something that's inaccurate. That has just been my experience. And I would find that interesting, by the way. And Dricus stood his ground. See, I'm appreciating Dricus more and more. He and Izzy, they hug to make up, but he didn't hug and make up like a bitch like most guys. Just, hey, man, oh, you know I love you. How's the family, man? I hope everything's well. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I've always wanted to be like you. It's not, really? Really, you thief? Give me my money back then. That's fraud. And that's not what Dricus did. Dricus showed sportsmanship. That's our sport. Well, that's a touch of the gloves or you come in a little tighter there. That's procedure. It's protocol. It's appropriate. And Dricus did those things, and he was polite. And when the media asked him about it, he said, oh, no, the feud's very real. We had something to fight about, and now we fought. I think we're going to leave it there, but who knows? All right, let's see where that goes. And it was a very unusual fight, by the way. It really was unusual. Izzy let up. He relinquished. I don't like the word quit. I don't like that. But guys, sadly, this embarrasses me. I know about it. I know what it is. I know it when I see it. And I have never seen it in Izzy's career before. Like when Izzy hit the ground for that final time. And I thought right when he went down, there was a body language like, uh-oh. Never seen that from Izzy. Grinds it out to the bitter end. When he turned to, but I was seeing it right there, uh-oh. When he turned to his knees, that's when I knew. There's a moment when you turn to your knees. There is a moment of you either pause, and that means I'm done. And every fighter in the world will know, put the legs in, go for the choke. No fighter will stand there and start pounding you out. He won't kick you while he's standing up and drop axe kicks on. He won't drop knees to your body, even though he can, even though all those nasty things are within the rules. Fighter knows from that expression, put it in just like it's practice. I have had enough. Make it look right for your glorious victory and for my own pride. It comes all the way back to the samurai days. Well, they will not ask for mercy. They will eventually relinquish, and to show them that sign of respect, take that sword and you chop it right off. So I'm sharing this with you for a reason, though. And it's not to tell you what you already saw. It's to tell you that that is very unusual for the momentum shift that that fight was having. Like, that entire fight, Adesanya fought very well. All of it. Which he should not have. Being 35 years old and being out for a year, he should not have fought that crisp and that sharp. He should not have made weight as easy and looked as spry. He was fighting a very good fight. Now, Dricus brought out some tools that we hadn't seen before. So you got to deal with those on the go. But it was 2-1. When they went into the 4th round, the official judges' cards, if you guys have not seen that, is 2-1. But the one that Izzy had was the previous round. It is very unusual that if things aren't going your way and then they start to go away, that you then relinquish. That's just not how it's done. It's usually mathematical. If we're going to the 4th round and I'm down by 3, I'm getting fatigued. I wasn't winning rounds when my eyes are open. Now he's got one of them swollen shut. I wasn't feeling great when I could breathe, and now my nose is sideways. Like, you start, it's called taking inventory. It's part of the fight or flight process. I'm just sharing for you, like, Izzy fought really well. And that pace that Dricus was bringing must have been higher. Like those are always intangibles that you can't quite see. And Dricus was very balanced and very measured with his attacks. He did grapple and he did take it to the ground, but they were sloppy. And they weren't sloppy because he's a sloppy wrestler. They were sloppy because he wasn't willing to put full effort into it, just in case it didn't work. If you put full effort into a takedown and you don't get it, you're now stuck on your feet, reduced. And it's a position, at least in theory, that you didn't want to be initially, which is why you attempted the takedown. And it was very disciplined to hear about things like fight IQ. When you hear about veterans and you hear things about experience, that's what you were seasoned, very seasoned and very poised. For a guy that only has one other experience ever even being in a 4th round. And I also tell you that because where is Izzy going to go from here? Guys, I'm hearing many people writing it off like this is his funeral. He fought very good. Whole fight was competitive. I went and checked the judges' scorecards because I wasn't sure. It could have been 2-1 Izzy. It could have been 3-0 Dricus. It was a really close fight. So even though it was officially 2-1, it was a very competitive fight. There was no position where Izzy got overwhelmed. Not even on the ground where the hooks came in. That decision was already made. And Izzy was the right guy. I can't think of anybody else that could have done better. Izzy could have won that fight. 2-1 with 2 left, you still got the math. I'm just reminding you of this. Before we have the funeral for Israel Adesanya, like, there's a lot of things that he can do. Oh, and by the way, there was 11 fights that night, 22 athletes on the card. 10 of those fights and 20 of those athletes never saw a 4th and 5th round. So you have a completely different game. If Izzy comes off the top of the docket and he's a pay-per-view fighter, and his next fight won't be a title fight. So unless he is just a right opponent with a personal grudge, he won't be main event. If he is not main event, you're now doing 3 rounds. That's a completely different atmosphere. Which, by the way, for a guy who's been sitting for a year, that's what you want to come back to. It's the great mistake that Conor McGregor is getting ready to make, and his ego's getting in his way. Being out for as long as he's been out with that kind of an injury greatly will reduce your ability to push, which was never his strong point in the first place. It's not a title fight. It's not even in his weight class. He should not have pushed for 5 rounds. And by the way, I shouldn't say push because he didn't. He should have pushed to make sure it was three rounds. Those are just the rules. You add rounds, you take rounds away. You add minutes, you reduce minutes. You got three judges, let's move to five. You change one single thing, you're now doing something else. It's not the same sport. You change one rule, you are now not doing that. And I just bring it to you because what's next for Izzy? There's a potential for a whole bunch of really exciting things at two different weight classes, by the way. It's going to need to be personal. It's going to need to be a grudge. It has the eligibility to be for three rounds, which I just suggest for you would refresh anybody. If two of those three requirements I just stated for you are not met, then you're going to have to revisit the option that you thought was there anyway, which is he will not fight again. Tell you, I don't really need much help over here. I really don't. It's a bit of a one-man band. Like, I don't even need a partner. I don't need to bounce off. I don't need guests to elongate. I don't need ideas. Most of the time. Every now and then, you gotta tag somebody in. Every now and then. If I feel it would better the product or better the information I have to give you guys. Which is 99.9% opinion. So the big swerve ball is when I actually break some news, when I give you some actual information that perhaps you hadn't previously gotten somewhere else. I've always been in a position that somebody else will do that, and then I will give you an interpretation and or a response to. And you want to know why? You want to know why I'm telling you all this? I got a friend. I ain't got a bunch of them. But I got a friend, Danny Rubenstein. Now this guy is like manager to the stars. This guy works with the top talents, and one of the many great fighters amongst his stable is Dricus du Plessis. Now, Dricus had, and I've moved on from the fight, and that always can be tough to do, right? Like the way our news cycle works, you got a couple more days where you're still talking about once, about what was. And then come Wednesday at a break in the week, we will move forward to what is coming up. But I must tell you, I don't like that. I don't like hearing it from somebody else. I'm a fan. I assume those of you that take the time to follow and listen to me are what we would call hardcore fans. If you're a hardcore fan listening to Chael, I'm also going to assume that you've seen the fight. And it would just seem a little bit dull to come and tell you what happened on a fight that I'm really confident you saw. So what I like to do, what happens now? Where does that go? And 185 is pretty interesting. I love the fact that Sean Strickland, who's the number one ranked guy, I love that he was named number one contender. So that Dricus and or Izzy, right there in that moment, right, the moment one fight ends, the marketing for the next fight begins. Right there. And you're seeing Dricus is not Izzy. Now, Dricus does a good job in his own regard, but Israel Adesanya has never won a fight, and I do mean ever, taken that microphone and not let all of us know who he's fighting next. Nobody has ever steered their career. Everybody else's phone will ring and an idea will come about who your opponent is. Israel Adesanya started it every single time without exception. He would tell the world who he was going to fight next. And I only share that because Dricus was in a very unique spot where it's going to be Sean Strickland. It's already been named Sean Strickland. And Dricus, as opposed to accepting Sean Strickland, building something towards Sean Strickland, throwing the first shot towards Sean Strickland, actually rejected the idea of Sean Strickland. Now, that can be helpful in and of itself. I don't dismiss it. If you're saying the guy's name, you're doing your part to a degree. I'm just trying to show you a distinction between the two approaches of our current champion and our former biggest draw. So, I reach out to Danny Rubenstein. Let me tell you what I told Rube. My friend! Oh, you know what? I can't tell you. I made him a video. Can you guys see that on my phone? I made him a video. You know where you make a video and then you send it to a guy? That's very personal. That's personalizing as best that you can do, considering I'm sure Rube was at the fight in Perth. Like, you can just pick up the phone and call him and the time change is different. It's personal. Can you agree with that? And I said, but what I asked him was, hey, it'd make me look good. If you're still there with DDP, it would make me look good if I could have a statement from him. And it looks like you've got a number of directions to go. From Strickland to 205 pounds to accepting a challenge from Pereira. But if you could throw me something so I could come out and say, and then I could even put it in my thumbnail. I talked to DDP. DDP told me, right, and then I could finish that. He's red hot right now. That would be good for me. And I admitted that. I came clean. I am not looking to serve you. I am looking to put myself over. Please help me to do it. You want to hear what I got back? Do you want to hear what I got back? Now, texts are private. When Danny Roop sees it, you know you can trust with text. But come on, let me share this one. I don't know if I'm going to see him today. Let me ask his PR guy if he can jump on a quick 5-minute FaceTime with you. No thanks? Wait, a FaceTime? A PR guy? I'm not looking for talking points. I'm looking for inside info. I'm looking to, how's the champ feeling right now in this moment? He's got a lot of options coming at him. He's got a named opponent in Sean Strickland. He has what we all believe, including him, to be a number one contenders fight in Whitaker versus Chimaev, which could give you two number one contenders at the same time. And he just got called out by when Sean O'Malley's not fighting, the biggest star in the sport. Like, he is in a wildly successful situation right now. What would the PR guy tell me? What would that possibly be? The PR guy? Why would you have a PR guy? The UFC has a PR department. If you need PR done, good thing you got a promoter because he has a department of PR. Now, I don't want to give that person a hard time, by the way, and they're probably a friend of mine. I probably know who it is. I don't think it's Danny. I don't think it's Jen. I'm not giving the PR a hard time. I'm just sharing with you where would that come from and what is it that I could get from the PR department that I could share with you guys. Like, imagine it from my standpoint, which is the very one I laid out for my friend, Danny Rubenstein. I am making YouTube bits, of which you happen to be a subscriber and you comment on them all the time, which I appreciate, but you know my format and you know the game over here. I gotta have something fun to say that's unique and different from somebody else. That used to be very easy to do until everybody began copying me. Now I gotta stay a step ahead. In addition, I need something called a thumbnail to make you guys click on it in the first place. Now, let me just ask you, we're all here together, but let me just ask you. Drigas Duplessis told me. That's one option. I spoke to a PR person for 5 minutes on FaceTime about Drigas Duplessis. Could I even do that? Would you even click on that? How could Rube think that these were equitable? How would these be equitable? And why would I need to do a FaceTime, by the way? I have social anxiety. I don't want to just be out there, right? I don't want to just, it's midnight at my house. I'm in my robe. You know, I don't know if I want you. It's one of these things. And if it's going to be the same rinse and repeat that you're giving anyway, I could just say I talked to the PR guy and it would be like I did. Hey, I talked to the PR guy and guess what? Well, you know, they sure was an honor to share the cage. And I think we can bury the hatchet here. And I don't think we're going to have to run this one back. And we sure have a lot of respect for the division and told that Sean Strickland's next. And that may be, but we want to do the right thing. And we think that Chimaev and Whitaker should be given a good... I mean, what is it I possibly would have gotten? And then Rube could have bailed me out too. Like Rube himself could have said, hey, I haven't talked to DDP, but... And I could have said... Spoke to Danny Rube, DDP's manager. Here's what, but you know what? Instead, I have nothing. They left me with a big heaping pile of nothing. And I would just like to thank them. I would like to say thank you all. Thank you, entire team DDP, for nothing. shockingly, at least to me, called out Duplessis. And Duplessis is accepted, except at 205. Alex Pierra, this is a quote from Coach Cattleprod, Alex Pierra will have the excuse of being sucked down, so we will go up. All right, now, I got to tell you, I like that. I like that from all sides, and you've got to understand, this is never going to happen. Like, right, this will never happen. And that's first and foremost. So I appreciate that DDP side recognized the ridiculousness and also recognized which side of the bread has the butter, which is Alex's, and realized, unlike most guys, I should keep this alive. This is good for me. He is a bigger star than I am. He's a bigger person than I am. In terms of just physical size. And I tell you that because I still like how it's played. I mean, Alex going after DDP was a surprise. Like, this was an opportunity for Alex, right? I mean, for a guy that is very stoic and is very quiet, he has very much been bitten by the bug. I don't blame him. For the record, go out and enjoy the ride. It ain't going to last that long. But for a guy that is very quiet and very stoic, once he says one word, Chomo, he says one word, boy, he sure finds a way to insert himself into things that are none of his business. So for me, it was just a little bit of a surprise, right? I mean, if you have a contract to fight somebody else, or the other guy has an opponent who, by the way, you've made friendly with. I mean, that Sean Strickland and Pierre, however that goes. But Pierre is quite a competitor. I mean, he's willing to come in and take this right from Sean Strickland. And I just share with you, like, I really like the concept from Pierre. Pierre is one win away. It's got to be at heavyweight. It's got to be a guy with a belt. But he is one win away from ending the conversation on GOAT. Like, I don't want you to think that I'm giving Pierre a hard time. I'm coming to you from a perspective of, it surprised me. It was very out of character for Pierre. Pierre had a golden opportunity to wish him well, kid. Hey, new era. I used to be king down there. Now these guys that I've knocked out are the number one contenders. And look at this guy's come in and he sure looks like he's doing a good job. I'd love to work with him sometime. I mean, it's one of those things where he could have beat Dricus just by dismissing him, just by ignoring him. And he doesn't have to do it that way. I like him going after Tom. I like him going after John. I like him having Roundtree set up and not even addressing the fact that he had agreed to fight Uncle Iv and promised all of you it would be Uncle Iv. Like, I like that. I like a good troll. But if you're going to play that game, you got to have somebody to play back. And even though this completely is ridiculous, that fight is not going to happen. At least not in terms of Pierre cutting the weight and going down to 85. It does still beg the question. Very much so. Islam got tested with this, guys. I'm burying my league, but I promise you I'll make my point in just a moment. Islam gave champ status to somebody else. He would have really liked to have had champ status. So Islam even wanted to go up to 170 and fight Leon, but it wasn't about Leon. He wanted the opportunity for champ status, being as he did the same thing that Volk did, but the prize wasn't the same. A world champion on one hell of a streak took on a world champion on one hell of a streak, but it wasn't equitable based on victory. It's not usually done that way. I mean, that's a very unique situation. Generally, in fighting, all your chips are in. It was just, it was a unique thing, and Islam had even made a comment. Said, man, I like to be able to try to go for champ. I've given an opportunity not once, but twice. I don't need an opportunity twice, but I'd like one once. It was a very fair comment by Islam, and I'm just bringing it to you, like, for Duplessis to accept that fight at 85, why? As the great Supernaw once said, what's the money on it, Haas? I mean, why would I let you in? It's not as though I deny that you're a great fighter. It's not as though I deny that you can do great in this division, considering I've seen you be the champion of this division. It's not as... So why would I welcome you in? Is there something big on that? Is there something I don't know about? Is that a bigger venue? Is that my ticket into somewhere? I mean, I'm open to the answer. So you see, we're Duplessis and Coach Shockerfoot. We're very wise to accept. Of course you accept. You don't blink from that. You don't act as though the guys of yesterday could beat the guys today. You don't act like because you did something for me last week, you get the jump on me now. You quickly accept. It was very smart for them to say we'll go to 205. And I would like to know how that changes things. Like, I believe Alex Pereira. I take him sincere. When he says something, I believe him. When he said 30 plus 300 equals 3 or whatever that equation was, that had to do with him going up and fighting Aspinall, I believe he would have done that. I believe if he could get the fight at 85, he would like to take that fight. I got to word it like that. I got to word it like that because him getting down to 185, right? It's a tough thing once you let your body go. Let it grow. But if that was all the case, what's on it for Duplessis? Why would he be welcoming him? Like, what about that would be special? It would give him some parity, right? You got the top three guys. From Duplessis' standpoint, you got Strickland, got Adesanya. You might have an immersion of Chimaev, and if you don't, you're going to have Robert Whittaker. Like, check, check. Check, check, and check. He's done all of those things. To find somebody for Duplessis, you instantly got to go to number 4 or 5 or worse. At least if you're going to get him some parity. So if you accept the fight, of course you accept it at 205. And then what does that do to Pereira? I would be very curious. Right? Like, Pereira doesn't want to fight Duplessis. This wasn't about fighting Duplessis. He didn't care about Duplessis. He liked the idea of champ, champ. Well, Duplessis likes that too. He also doesn't want to fight Pereira. But he will if the opportunities are. Do you see how it changes things? So when it's your idea, it's very hard to blink. It's very hard to blink when it's your idea. I mean, Alex said he wanted to do the fight, and he did get specific, and he did say 185, and he did say he'd be coming home. But Duplessis is meeting them on the hard stuff. I'll meet you at the fight part. I'll meet you against champ versus champ. But I'm not putting my belt up. I was challenged. So now you got to give me something. We do it for your belt. I would just like to know where that changes things. I get that we're not going in this direction, guys. I only can imagine the silliness of it. Dricus also is not going to get the opportunity to go to 205 pounds and do champ champ until he does a lot more work at 185. I mean, please don't think you have to correct me. I'm talking about the idea. I'm talking about the entertainment factor. I'm talking about the blinking. I'm talking about the alpha off between two guys. I'm talking about a line in the sand that got drawn by Alex, which was a bit of a surprise. He has something else to do. It looks like he has a couple of something else's to do. I'm talking about Uncle Liev and/or Rachik after he gets done with Roundtree. But he quickly steers his attention to DDP, which of course has got to have, nobody's sweating more about that than Sean Strickland, who has got to be looking at the field and saying, hey, Alex, we've been training together. We've been cool with each other. And you know good and well that is my fight. And you just took, at least for the day, a whole news cycle worth of headlines off of me. Any athlete who competes at the highest level will tell you the importance of having a great team. Even in individual sports like boxing, wrestling, MMA, there is always a team of coaches and training partner who helped you get to the top. Think about Simone. Think about Serene. Think about Tiger. Think about Mike Tyson, Mayweather. They all have a coach. And the same thing goes with business. You need a solid team of trusted and knowledgeable people to help you advance if you're in the e-commerce business. Let Shopify be that teammate that helps you level up. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/chail, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/chail, like the famous gangster, to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/chail. Men, When we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, and how does my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss like the majority of the male population does, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that actually work, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized, chewable oral spray and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. Reaching out for help in this area can feel a bit embarrassing, but Hims has made this process so dignified and simple. All you have to do is answer a few questions online and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. No in-person visits to the doctor or pharmacy are needed. The whole process is 100% online. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get that confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/chael. That's Hims. HIMS.com/chael, like the famous gangster. For your personalized hair loss treatment options, HIMS.com/chael. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. How far do you want to see Dan Hooker go? And I mean right now. I mean, the iron is hot right now. How hard do you want this bounce to go? There was an article done by a gentleman that said Hooker will be ranked number 5 this week. That is not accurate. But before we look at the rankings, I more want to ask you, are you guys with me? Like, these opportunities and these moments don't come along very often. And when you get one, it is wildly important that it is used correctly. It can be a springboard or become something you can rest on. Worked my whole life for these moments that I'll remember for my whole life, and I got one right here, and let's see what's next. And it's all house money at this point. I've already had my great mom. Like, Dan Hooker doesn't seem like that type to me, but I'm just sharing. There's only two options. There's not a third option. It's one of those two. Great moment, springboard into something else. And you know what? I don't want it to end. I don't want any cap on it. Where it falls, but I don't want a cap on it now. Like the article that I read that said he will be ranked number 5. That's not a reward. At least not much of one. He's been ranked number 5 before, just for example. He was ranked number 5 the night that he fought Dustin Poirier. That's not a reward. Main event? That's a reward. And I want the BMF on the table. I don't want it off the table, right? Where you land in conjunction to what your coverage is. We're having two different conversations. But if we put a ceiling on him that is, hey, your great reward is you're ranked number 5, which first off is not even going to be accurate, but secondly, that's not a reward. I want the BMF on the table. And then he's got to go make it happen. He's got to go out and get that son of a bitch. I heard discussion, and he called himself a troll. He said, I'm going to troll my way into everything. He was talking about world title fights and into everybody's hearts and minds and into Conor McGregor fight. And I had a brief discussion of could he troll his way into Conor McGregor? And the answer is no. And I got to just stop you right there. But there's two reasons. And it's not because the world wouldn't love to see that fight. And that fight has been talked about. But there's two massive reasons. First off, you're not going to be able to sell Hooker as a 70-pounder. You're just not. And secondly, Hooker lost to Chandler. So the promotion would have a hard time of selling Hooker as a 70-pounder, and Conor can't make 55, so we got a problem. But secondly, you would have a perception that it was a less difficult match. I'm just sharing so they won't go in that direction. I don't say that to throw water on it. I say it so we can be realistic. Let's not throw crazy things out there. I like this BMF business, you know, because not everybody's a BMF. You know one when you see it. I'd have a hard time describing it for you, and I'd have a hard time explaining it for you. And I'm not saying George St. Pierre couldn't beat every BMF that we've had. But he doesn't go into the category, right? He's something else. He's something more special. I understand. But there's still a category. Dan Hooker's that category. Dan Hooker's done tough guy stuff that you don't even know about. He conducted an interview, a post-fight interview with a smile on his face to thank all of you, let you know how he was feeling with a broken arm. Joe Rogan finally called him on it and said, is your arm broken? Hooker said, oh yeah, I think so. Just move right on. Wanted to do the interview. Hooker one time has to go to a different country during a world pandemic where many people are telling us life's over, it's going to end, and then he's got to deal with the depression of post-fight alone while quarantined for 71 days. Like, that's tough guy stuff. There's no fat on the bone. He's as lean as they come, tall, 55-pounder. Who cut to 45? He had both eyes cut Saturday. Many people thought he was losing. In a best scenario, it's even. Going into the third, and he's laughing and telling jokes with his corner men. Like, this is a very unusual guy. This is an unusual level of badass. And it's hard to get respect. Many people come out and they demand it. They cry, well, why don't I get respect? Why don't you don't respect me? I can't believe you said that. You're so disrespectful. Well, because I don't respect you. Earn it. And crying and sniffling about it on the internet is not the way to it. Come out and earn it. Well, then you know when guys have. And it's real simple to know they don't get called out. That's respect. Dan Hooker's in that spot. He's saying he's going to have to troll and he's going to have to go to work. Well, he's exactly right, because he's not going to get called out. That matchup and that length is a pain in the ass. Fighting a guy that will never let up. Like, your number one goal is to just make the guy give up. He'll give up, pretend to be in a submission. Like, there's things that you can do. There's ways out in this sport, right? It's not like Bruce Seldon versus Mike Tyson is the only guy that can pretend to be asleep when he's not. Right? I'm just sharing for you, when you have a guy that one's off the table. He will not give, that one's off the table. So if it's a 15-minute fight, you better be ready to fight 15 minutes. Like, that in and of itself, why wouldn't you choose somebody else? I mean, if you're going to go break into a house, right? I offer this as an example because it's one that you'll be able to understand. If you're going to go break into a house and you have a few options, but of those options, only one of them has a sign in the yard that says protected by and then a well-known security service. Of the houses, when that's all the info you have, it's not the one that you choose, correct? And it's for these very same reasons that Hooker is respected, that he is sidestepped. And it's going to be very hard to get somebody to call him out, so he's going to have to build it from here. He's going to have to go from here. And it would create a massive opportunity because people that pay attention realize Hooker will fight anybody. It's one of the reasons he's BMF status. Not just guys ranked ahead of him or guys with belts or guys that make him money. He'll get up in the loft and throw the ladder down too. You can come down from the number 11 spot if you want to get in there. That's all talk in your mind. Hooker doesn't talk that way. And I'm only sharing for you, there's a massive opportunity for one of these guys to call him out. But they won't. They won't because they respect him. And I want us to show him that same respect. And I don't want a cap put on this. This is a bounce, and you don't get it very often, but this is a bounce. And I want everything, including a BMF title shot, to be on the table. He has ever looked. And for good reason. Gordon has only had 10 days. 10 days of practice. Now, to qualify what that means, he goes to practice every day. Very disciplined. But he didn't have a single practice since his stomach issue that he could finish. Between dry heaving or just needs to break or just, hey, this was a bad idea, let's wait till tomorrow. Whatever it was. He only had 10 days in a row where that didn't happen. So for very good reason, Gordon's out of step. And I can't remember the last time he had a match. It's been a meaningful amount of time. And Yuri Simons, meanwhile, looked awesome. And I get to keep up on Yuri. I know guys that train with him. I know some stuff that he's doing in the gym. And I mean, I could just share for you, like, this was a good Yuri, and it looked, right? If you're judging a book by the covers, you're just looking at a guy, look good. Look very good. Look quick. Look light on his feet. Look like he could really move. It was 21-0, Gordon. And I don't know if you fully understand what that means. It's very difficult for me to articulate what it means. Sports oftentimes have a mercy rule. That's what we called it in Little League. We even had it in T-ball. Playing T-ball or baseball in something called Little League, which I think is still a big thing in the nation. But there was a certain amount of runs or points that you could get ahead of the other team and they would stop the game. Well, hey, that's enough. And they would call the mercy rules. You show mercy, just stop. You've proved your point. Now, I came through wrestling, and we call it a technical fall. But it wasn't always there. It's time Rick Stewart beat a guy at the Midlands by 52 points. Like, Rick Stewart was one of the reasons they put a technical fall rule into wrestling, but they made it 15 points. And international wrestling has even dropped that to 10 and 8 points for Olympic style. So, think of boxing. Got a TKO. Think of MMA. MMA, you got all sorts of ways to lose as a way of keeping it safe, right? The guy can tap out, he can go out, the referee can pull him off, you throw in the towel, you go to a judge. I mean, there's all sorts of ways for victory. And jiu-jitsu doesn't have that. So 21-0 is a shocking score. That is shocking. And don't forget, Yuri is a world champion. Yuri is one of the best to have ever done it. Yuri is the reigning, defending absolute champion, or was at the time of this match. So there's no knock on Yuri by any means. And Gordon had 21 points and Yuri had none. So now you're talking about having a guy so dominant in his field that he could score 21 points against the opposition. But then you're also looking at defense that is so perfect and unpenetrable that he didn't give up a point. That is wildly shocking. And that's going to be for jiu-jitsu to decide if they want to try to come up with a type of mercy rule. I think it would be good for jiu-jitsu. A lot of those top guys do not submit each other. And the worst thing about jiu-jitsu is watching the jiu-jitsu. That is easily the worst. You want to have conflict? Conflict resolution. Move on. Right? No, nobody's watching that to find an armbar or a head and arm choke. They're finding it because an armbar and a head and arm choke brings a resolution to your conflict. Like, when people cheer when there's a finish, they're not cheering because that finish is so special. They're cheering because it's over. And that's not me trying to be funny, by the way. It really is something jiu-jitsu, which has done a fantastic job of marketing, and I, as a wrestler, will have to stand back and observe what they're doing. They got it right, at least a lot more than us. But I think that they might want to look to that. 21-0. A point has been proven in spades. And what I tell you, and I took you in that diatribe to kind of fill you in. 21-0. Gordon Ryan, a lot of people don't know gymnastics. Is that fair? Could you raise your hand and go, I love gymnastics, but if I asked you how to score it, or asked you, what is a common score? What is a common score for an all-around? What is a common score for a floor routine? You wouldn't know. But I will tell you, it's much like horse racing in that it's tenths. It's tenths of a point. And Simone Biles has won competitions by 7 points before. Now, in a normal sport, in a football or a baseball or a basketball, you've seen that and you might think there's nothing to see here. But in gymnastics, and the whole reason I'm bringing you this is I don't know if Gordon Ryan is the most dominant athlete in the world. Because it might be Simone. But if it's not Simone, it is Gordon. And those are your top two, like as great as LeBron. As great as LeBron is. He's not 21-0. Like, he's never been part of a game, ever. He has never been part of the game. Even the scrub teams that they played in the Olympics, he has never been part of a game where his defense was impenetrable. you will not find a LeBron game. You go back as far as you want. You have footage from when he was in the fifth grade. He never played a game where the other team didn't score. And 21 to nothing. Does Gordon have the best offense out there? Yeah. I mean, if you're doing it in that regard, nobody else could have scored 21 points on Yuri Simone. But more, does he have the best defense out there? It was perfect. It's a goose egg. Like, you guys go to BJ Fanatics to get Chael Sonnen's instructional tape. But while you're over there, you grab Gordon's. And you usually grab Gordon's for his offense, right? Well, you're right to do so. I'm just telling you, like, this was so eye-opening to how incredible his defense is. And he is literally the most dominant athlete in sport. If you can test that, you'd have to move him to two. You could make a very good argument and case for Simone. And 5 years ago, it would have been Simone. I'm not certain it is now. And I bring this to you to get a guy credit. Do you know how hard you have to work to have that kind of a skill base? Do you know how driven you have to be the world champion for one day? Imagine being the world champion and now you're the hunted. It changes everything, right? When you're the hunter, there's something fun about it. When you're being hunted, it's something different. And to get that drive and get that motivation, to get up early and get that extra sauna in, that extra workout in, that extra conditioning, to stay after practice, to do those kinds of things when you're already number one. He could have done none of those extras. He could have done none of the extras and won that match by 8 points. I mean, do you understand the spread? 21 to nothing. Do you understand how poorly he could have done in comparison to how he still did and still be number one? It is so impressive. I hope somebody picks it up. I hope they break into SportsCenter. I hope they look at him for the Wheaties box. I hope they put him on the cover of SI. I'm quite sure they do not have a PR team in place that's even looking in that direction. And if all he ends up with is this video, he should know and his children should know and grandchildren of future generations, there are 6 billion men on Earth. 4.8 billion of them do sport. He does it better than all of them. All right, guys, I've had it with you all, but I appreciate you listening, and I'll appreciate it even more when you leave me comments and reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Guys, I will see you on Friday. I got a little bit of a story developing. I'm wondering if I should tease it now or just tell you Friday. Guess we'll wait till the end of the week. Tune in to find out. Have a good week, you all. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.